If you've ever tried to accomplish a job without the right tool, it's frustrating. You work harder and harder, but don't get much out of it. That's why the Bible Study Company was created. It's the right tool to help you study and enjoy reading the Scriptures. Powerful tools have been built into this resource to help regular pew sitters like you and me gain more understanding from what we read. Now, please join founders Rick and Mary Joyner as we dig deeper and find more meaning out of the Bible.
Okay, so this is our podcast, Exodus 3, Part 2. Hello, Mrs. Joyner.
Hello, Mr. J.
What do you got to drink?
I've got hot coffee that you made me.
Okay, yeah, it's decaf because it's in the afternoon. Okay, so I got to give a little background, and I'm going to read this up here. So if you see me not on the camera or talking to you, you'll know. So anyway, we've been moving our way through Exodus, but a lot of times we end up in Exodus, like right now we're in Exodus 30, 31. And the interesting thing about that is that's our devotion related to our own personal study.
Right.
So I want to share with everybody one of the things that we're really passionate about Bible Study Company is the fact that pew sitters like us should be disciples, and disciples follow the teacher, and the teacher is the Word of God from John 1:1. Mm-hmm. We've said this in many podcasts. The thing that we want to do, though, is many of you have said, would you please start up Exodus 3 or start doing Exodus? So what we're going to do is we're going to indeed do that. You're going to see podcasts coming and going from Dr. Brooke, from the conference, from us, and we're going to try to be really faithful to do every single week. There's things in times that we can't. So do you have any comments that you'd like to share about why we sort of stopped at Exodus 3?
I think it's because we were doing our other studies, and what happens is, which is something that will be really good for you guys if you're not doing it, is we got really excited because we would be studying on some other area and think we need to do a podcast on this before we, you know, forget and before the passion of it dies down, because, you know, you get on with your day or weeks go by and then you kind of forget about it to do a podcast. So that we just kind of left the Exodus 3 by the wayside and kind of went back and forth if we were to pick that back up again or not. And you were very strongly suggesting that we do pick it back up. And I just felt like that's what we should do. So,
well, I think that's right. And what we don't want to do is come across like we're trying to be teachers of any kind. What we're trying to do is share with you guys what we're learning and how wonderful it is. As a backdrop, go back, if you would, if you're joining us for the first time or not, go back and listen to the first part one of Exodus 3. I think there's a lot in this. There's a lot in these scriptures right now where it goes to verse 7. But the thing that I wanted to share with you guys is there's so much in Scripture. The other thing that we don't see is the big picture of our life. That's one of the lessons that the Lord started to uncover for us. And the other interesting thing is Proverbs 2. We've shared with people many times about the fact that God starts to open up the doors and give us revelation. And we've struggled with trying to explain that to people. But in Proverbs 2, if you want a devotion, go and read Proverbs 2, because it exactly describes what's taking place here. And so maybe we'll do a podcast on that at some point. But the thing is that we don't see the big picture. God does. And so I know many of you have probably done what I've done, and you and I were talking about this the other day, is we sit back and we read these scriptures and we go, you guys are making a big mistake. And why are you doing that?
Talking to the people in the Bible.
And I do it in my mind. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think okay. You said it out loud, but I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. So the thing is that what Mary and I learned is Moses doesn't see the big picture. So he's going to be interacting with God in a remarkable way here. And we'll just read from verse 7 down. But the thing that I wanted to share is if we knew the outcome ahead of time, and I know God wants to project the outcome, that's what prophecy is all about. And for anybody that encounters an atheist, it says, how do you know the Bible's not true? It was written by God. You just go to prophecy because it's clear. There's no other holy book that does that. But anyway, this is why we want to study Scripture, because we want to learn the ways of the Lord. And once we start to understand how he interacts with us, because he's interacting with real people.
Right.
And if we take it like that, then we'll start to grow. And I think that's the setup for this. And we're still learning. As we sit and talk about these things, Scripture, like we've said, has invaded our life. Proverbs 2 actually shows that. Mm-hmm. But the thing that's so exciting to us is we get to be changed. And I think that's the most exciting part of this, is that we don't see the big picture. God does. We need to put our trust in him.
Well, and to go along with that, they didn't know the end of the story. We do from prophecy. But one of the things that's interesting to me is because we do say, how can they do that? They're in the desert and they see the pillar of fire and he's feeding them and they don't get it. And it's like, what about us? We know the end. We know the end of the story. We see the prophetic things that have come so far and we do the same thing. It's like we don't get it, and we have the luxury of knowing the end of the story. It's no different than them.
We see Christ on the cross.
Exactly. They were fed. We're taken care of. And like we've always said, if we're looking at it from a kingdom mind or an earthly mind, we'll either see it or we won't. We'll either appreciate it and be grateful and obey the Lord because of just pure gratefulness and gratitude, or we'll complain, and which we do, I mean, through our whole lives. You know, waver back and forth, kingdom-minded, earthly-minded, and we have the end of the story.
Yeah, and I think what you said is really true. You know, that pillar of fire, when you were talking about it, that's a picture of Christ too, because he really took the pillar of fire when he went on the cross. And I think we need to be looking at him, but I think the other thing that kind of really impressed upon me as you were talking was, why don't we just start with a blank slate? And that's actually going to come up when we read this back to everybody. But the blank slate is this. How do we just not expect anything from God? Because I live my life thinking in a performance way that if I do certain things, he's going to give me a good life. And really, there's a humbling took place that I don't need to talk about. But why don't we just approach him like, I am really grateful to have your breath that you put in my lungs. Mm-hmm. And how do I really look at you and say, I want to just be obedient to the revelation that you've given me? I've had people say to me, we want to be obedient to the word of God and be praiseworthy. Yes, but you know what? It's really about the revelation he gives us from Scripture.
Well, right. And many times people will say, well, what's your definition of praiseworthy? Everybody has a different definition of praiseworthy. But in all reality, being praiseworthy is being obedient to the Lord and wanting to minister to him only.
Yeah.
And not have idols in our lives that we become dependent on. So praiseworthy isn't different for everybody. It's the same. The fruits of it might appear different in what you're doing. But if you're ministering to the Lord and you're having a relationship with the Lord, you're living a praiseworthy life.
That you just said, ministry to the Lord, that's the blank slate. Mm-hmm. Let's take the blank slate, focus on him, minister to him. What we have, where we are in life right now, stop and just say, Lord, and let's do it right now. Father, we just come to you. We just take a blank slate. Like Mary said, we want to be ministers to you only, not to other people. If you give us the opportunity to minister to people, we're grateful. If you equip us to minister to other people, we're grateful. That's what's happening with the story with Moses. You are equipping him, and he doesn't even know it. but it's for a purpose, and you have for us a purpose. And that purpose is to minister to you and serve you. And so, Lord, we look to you. We don't care about what other people think of us. We don't care about being someone in the world, making a name for ourselves. We want to make your name glorified. And so, Lord, we look, we'll open our hearts up to you, and we take that position right now in Jesus' holy name as Lord of our life.
Amen.
So the one thing that I thought we would do here is we'll make a little bit of a recap from Exodus 3, part 1. Now, Moses was pastoring the flock. I'm reading from Bible Study Company. Flock of his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place for which you are standing is holy ground. And he said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people in Egypt. We're going to talk about that. But I just want to say a couple things from my perspective. This phrase that the Lord said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob. When I realized that he said, I'm the God of your father, that would be like me standing there in front of the Lord and him saying, if my dad had passed away, I'm the God of your father. This goes back to the other podcast that we did, proving that his dad was, Moses' father, was a kingdom-minded person. And we see that because he married a Levite woman. They still had their children, even though the Egyptians were killing them. And they besought the Lord for some way to save this child, and he gave them the basket, which is a picture of Noah's Ark. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the point is that he said, your father, meaning that he made this a personal thing with Moses. Moses hadn't seen his father for 40 years, didn't know the status, but now he knew. Mm-hmm. He knew that his father was with him in heaven. That is one of the most tender, caring things I have seen in Scripture, besides the other wonderful things. But here's the thing. When we approach the Word of God, Hebrews 3:10 says, these people died in the wilderness because they did not know my ways. That scared us. We've said that in other, but now we're learning about something about God himself, that he gathers us to our fathers, to those who are believers, and he cares enough to tell us that he's with us.
Right.
That his dad was with him. That is absolutely fantastic.
Well, and also that he looked at him as a son, because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were known from the history that they were men of God. And he's including him in my perception of that when he says, I'm the God of your father, and then names all the other men like you're a child of theirs. You're, you know, another generation of someone following me.
Yes, I really like that point that you made just now. I hadn't seen that before, so thanks for making that.
Sure.
Okay. The other thing that I wanted to do is you have really grabbed onto the rest of these scriptures in Exodus. And so do you think I should continue just reading?
I think okay. You should. Yeah.
So the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I'm aware of their sufferings. Now, I'm saying this to you because as we started to study Exodus, I highly recommend you guys grabbing your spouses or even have a small group. And if you want us to join your small group, we could via computer and just walk you through this. But when Mary and I started studying Scripture together, we took Exodus, and you're going to exactly see why in a minute, because the Scripture verse that's here is here. But these people were in bondage in Egypt, If you go over to Acts 8, and I would highly encourage you to do this, run in Bible Study Company a search for, say, Egypt or sufferings or whatever, but you'll run into Stephen sharing the story about the people in Egypt and how they still wanted to serve other gods and they still kept looking back. So our question to the Lord, Mary, in the setup, sorry this setup's so long, but our question to the Lord as we were studying is, how did these people end up in bondage? How did they end up in slavery?
Well, and don't you think that it was a slow process?
It was.
Ending up, I mean, kind of like a frog being boiled in water. It's a process of finding your dependence on something else little by little and then acclimating into the community that you're in and saying, well, this isn't so bad. I'll take this on too because it'll help me in the society that I live in. And it's the age old of Adam and Eve that, oh, this looks good. And maybe it's going to help me in my life and make it, you know, better, especially in the whatever era of time you were in. And for them, they were in Egypt.
Right. That was the top
world
system.
And had lived some pretty...
That was America.
Yeah. When they were at the top of their game.
That's right. The most powerful nation on earth. Yeah. And the Lord wanted to destroy them because they were exporting their wicked gods to the rest of the world. But here's the thing. This world system, that the first thing that we learned is this is a picture, that verse 7 is a picture of the world system ruled by an evil king. Mm-hmm. And the people thus were trying to survive inside of it. Christ goes back with the Pharisees and basically says, don't you know that sin is slavery? And so one of the things that happened to us is we ended up asking the Lord, why did they end up in slavery? Well, we learned another biblical principle, and that was Scripture answers Scripture. So take a look at Acts 8, where Stephen is giving his talk, and you're going to take a look at some very harsh words. And one of the things that we have to be aware of is it's good to be in Stephen's spot because we always want to think we're in that spot, but we also want to put ourselves in the spot of the Pharisees. And by the way, most of the Pharisees weren't born again based on John 3 with Nicodemus' discussion. So how would you like to be taught by a bunch of people who aren't born again? And so we make up our own rules.
Yeah.
Okay. But here's the thing that's really interesting to me is that the Lord sent us over to Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah 2, it shows that the children of Israel were mixing other gods big time together. Now, I don't say that because I could get a whole plethora of people sending emails and saying, well, Easter's this and Christmas is this and the church doesn't know what it's doing. We're not doing that. We want to know from what's affecting our heart. Where is our heart as it relates to the world system? Are we mixing things together?
Mm-hmm. I think that's what the Lord is setting the stage for Moses. Just the fact that Moses went to the west side of the mountain with his flock, and then here's this burning bush, and he turns and sees it. And we've talked about that in part one, I believe. It was specific that when God saw that he turned and saw it, he called out to him. And that's when he said, take off your sandals, you're on holy ground. And I believe he was, I'm not a scholar, but that the Lord had been preparing him through those years. And it was, I'm ready to call you and you're no longer going to walk the way of man and you're going to walk the way of the Lord. Take your sandals off, something that's man-made. And then again, the earthly mind or the kingdom mind, and follow me, just like in the New Testament, when Christ said to these disciples and to different people, follow me. When he did that, it's basically take your sandals off because you're no longer going to be following man's way. You're going to be following my way. And he was preparing Moses to teach the people how you do that,
mm-hmm.
how you can do that and not get caught up and back into idolatry again.
That's right. And I think connecting the born again to the angel of the Lord, because back in Exodus 2, Moses tried to do this in his own flesh and he ended up killing somebody. And then he went back to try to rectify it and let people know. Read the account from Stephen. You'll understand his motivation. But the thing that's really going on here, too, is you're exactly right. He's having an encounter with the living God, and he actually can see him in the burning bush.
Right.
And the bush is not consumed because there's no sin in the bush. Mm-hmm. But he's full of sin.
Right.
We're full of sin. But I think it's interesting that he put in there, the Holy Spirit put in there, that he went to the west side of the mountain because mm-hmm. the west side means sea. And the interesting thing is, typically in the Hebrew culture, it was the sea was full of chaos and unexpected and fear and all that. Maybe that's giving us a picture of what was going on. And, you know, here he's 40 years from Egypt. Maybe something's stirring in his heart. We don't know. The scripture doesn't tell us. It just gives us a lot of symbolism. And that's another Bible study tool that we can look at when we are studying the Old Testament. There's tons of symbolism, but of course we have to be careful with it. We can't read ourselves into it, but we can put ourselves there.
Right. It wasn't the word west break down into follow?
It could have been.
Or the tail end of following? I'm not sure.
I'll look it up right now because we'll use our Bible study company lexicon. So anyway, you can do that study, you guys, and we won't take up your time. So I think the interesting thing is that the angel of the Lord, the Bible Project did a good job on the angel of the Lord following it through scripture. And it's fairly clear that angel means messenger of the Lord, and the messenger of the Lord most likely was a theophany, which is a fancy word of saying that it was an appearance by the Lord Jesus himself. I think it's true. And he was in blazing fire. I don't think we understand a lot of times we hear people saying, we've got to get the fire, we've got to get the fire. We shouldn't be emotional and looking for fire because it's judgment of sin. Mm-hmm. And I think this blazing fire that was coming from the bush, Mary, you can do some of your own research on this, but he's pretty angry at the children of Israel in Egypt, in other places in scripture like Ezekiel. They're worshiping the Egyptian gods. It was 400 years from Abraham's promise, but God made a promise, and this is what is coming to pass. But that doesn't mean he's not going to be angry mm-hmm. with their behavior. And we need to take that on too. We need to say and ask in our life, Lord, where is our idolatry? I don't want to ask you to bring your fire to me, but because you're going to do that when you give me the Holy Spirit, but help me to respond correctly.
Well, and also in the midst of the bush, it mentions it a couple times, and I remember looking that up too, and it talks about, you know, the midsection between the root meaning is bisection or to sever.
Really?
Yeah, which I thought was interesting because that's what happens with your, when you get saved and you repent and you start your process of sanctification, the Lord kind of rips you apart.
Does he?
You know, so, you know, you're being churned and, but, you know, getting through it, you learn more and you're, you know, that much closer to the Lord, but it doesn't end. I mean, we're always being churned.
So. Yeah. Well, and I think one of the things that's really interesting is I could ask you a question, and I don't think it's inappropriate because I think wives know their husbands the best. But if I said to you, since we've been studying scriptures since, you know, late 2014, now other people, you guys have heard us, we treated the Bible more as a devotional instead of looking
over,
how we
over
are,
the years.
Over yeah. the years, yeah. And we still have our own personal times in study. But if I was to ask you, what has changed, including me, what has changed? Because I can tell you, you're not the same person. You're way more assertive than you were. You're more confident in the future. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. you're really more confident in your relationship with God. And then the trials that we've gone through have really helped shape us.
Right. Well, like I've said to so many people, this past 5 years have been the hardest, probably the hardest years, but also the most wonderful years because of mm-hmm. all the process of things that have happened. And I believe that the reason it's there's always been horrible things that go on in people's lives and wonderful things that go on in people's lives. But us as a couple and us as individually, the trials that we've faced in the past 5 years, we've had a different mindset, which has been, are we going to look at this through the eyes of our earthly mind, or are we going to see what God is doing, trying to do, and what we can see and how we can go before the Lord and ask what His will is, and how we can, again, through it, still minister to Him and worship Him. Yeah. And so I think the growth has come from that. However imperfect we are and everybody making mistakes, that's one of the key things that I've wanted to get across with the podcast, is showing people you know, that we aren't scholars and we're muddling through the scripture just like you or anybody else. And the key is that we have the power of the Holy Spirit, which is our teacher. And if we're aware of that and we really respond to that, we learn so much. Even during the hard times, we learn so much. And it only brings us into a different relationship with the Lord that makes it even more exciting to want to minister to Him because of what we've gone through and seeing the other end of it. Mm-hmm. And then in turn, in that, you trying to minister to the Lord individually, me trying to minister to the Lord, and us as one flesh has weeded out so many negative and brought so many positive things into our relationship.
Yeah, and the reality of one flesh in our marriage mm-hmm. becomes a central focus mm-hmm. because if I'm going to minister to the Lord and I'm going to be praiseworthy to Him, I have to look to Him. Even if I get really angry with you, I've got to look to Him to find out what's going on in me and then make sure I respond correctly. Because if He's the Lord of our life, then He's going to be opening up stuff. And every single circumstance, every single word, every single everything is you're under His care and lordship, and He'll use it for training and teaching.
Well, and that's why I think for us, especially one of the, if you want to say passions or the things that I want to convey to people that are married, because your marriage can be on the rocks. You can be so far apart from each other. You can be so hurt from different things that have happened, you know, throughout your life in a marriage. And the understanding of the one flesh and the understanding of each of us separately ministering to the Lord. One of the things that I think of when I get angry at you, you know, or if I'm going through a period where it's like, oh, everything's bugging me about you, I try to go, and, you know, not perfectly, but I think, okay, how would it be for me to minister to the Lord? What is ministering to the Lord? Well, one of the things is to pray for my husband, because the Lord gave me you, and we're one flesh, and we're a representation of a unit. And how would I be honoring and worshiping the Lord and ministering to the Lord by just not doing that for you?
Right,
and
exactly.
And the same with you. And that's where things come in, with, I think, with people's marriage, where you will go against your feelings because there's a greater good, and your feelings are just earthly feelings. Flesh, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, they're like clouds that pass right. by. Sometimes they're angry, sometimes they rain. Anyway, what does all that have to do with Exodus 3? Well, what it has to do is Moses is being changed here. He's encountering the living God. We feel like we've encountered the living God. He's revealed Himself through His word. If you read Proverbs 2, as I said, the more you take this position of being His servant with a clean slate, He will reveal to you. And that revelation begins to impact your life. The other thing is, we're in Exodus 30 and 31, which we're going to do a podcast shortly on this.
We're personally.
Personally.
That, but today we're on Exodus.
We're on Exodus. But the interesting thing is, the incense from the Lord is His presence. Those priests had it all over their clothes and everything. Mm-hmm. And once you start wanting to deal with sin in your life and wanting His power in your life through His word and His changing power, I can tell you right now that His presence is all around you, and it does affect people. Mm-hmm. And you'll see them look twice at you in some cases. But we'll get back over here. This chapter has a huge impact on us because it's where we started. Mm-hmm. And so I'll go a little bit farther. Is that okay?
Yep.
All right. So, and
where are you?
7. And I've seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. And again, this is the thing, the eyes of the Lord, this is one of the things we learn from about him. We need to tuck this away in our heart. His eyes are on us. Mm-hmm. His love is towards us. He sees our sufferings, mm-hmm. even if we're not behaving correctly.
Right.
People don't get that in grace. I can behave badly, but the Lord will send circumstances to get me corrected back. And that's what's happening there. The taskmasters in Egypt are causing big hurt on the people. They're now knowing that they have no escape, no way of getting out from this bondage, and their hearts are getting ready. Circumstances, bad circumstances, good circumstances can be used to change us in a powerful right. way. We just need to respond correctly, which means on your face.
Well, and it's apparent that he must have saw a shift in their heart.
Yeah.
Because he said, my people, I think you go on to the next.
Yeah, that's what it says. I've seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of the taskmasters, for I'm aware. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land of flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite, Hittite, Amorite, Perizzite, and Hivite, and the Jebusite. So, Mary, this is the exact verse when the company was sold and we didn't have a job, and you said, why don't we start trying to do something together? Mm-hmm. And we started studying, and the Lord said, I'm giving you to a good and spacious land.
Right.
That is the exact definition. Good is the will of God. That's his definition of good. And a spacious land is opportunity. And I'll tell you, that is the land flowing with milk and honey, the type of thing that completely satisfies your soul. Mm-hmm. That, and I would say, even though we've been through tough times, that's where they're headed. You could call that heaven. You could call that being with the Lord. Our flesh is in the way. Our tent, by the way, it's coming up on Sukkot. And this touches me because now we're coming back to this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the reality too, like you said, is heaven or whatever that is saying, the reality of us coming to a point and him wanting to lead his people to a point where that they're aware that the breath that's with them and them is from him. And he's coming down and says, I'm coming down
right.
to meet them. And he does that for us.
This is the same language as in the Tower of Babel. Mm-hmm. And he didn't mess around
yeah.
then, and he's not messing around now.
Right. He'll come down all right.
That's right. Yeah. And I think we can invite him, because I think the Lord Jesus himself, I think someplace in 7, verse 7 of Matthew says it someplace. But it says, if you fall on the rock, it'll break you to pieces. But if this rock falls on you, you're going to be into dust. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, if it's pieces, he can put us back together. Mm-hmm. So let's fall on the rock.
Right.
And that's what I think is happening to them. But they, remember, they lack hope of ever getting out of their situations. I know I felt that way. I've felt like my decisions have brought me to a place where I can't get out. I'll never be able to be restored. And that includes sin and everything. And what has the Lord done? You walk with him in the light and confess your sins one to another. And boy, I'll tell you something, you know, these people are about to see a powerful thing. But again, here we're saying the end of the story.
Yeah.
We can cheer them on.
Right.
But are we cheering ourselves on in the Lord?
Right.
You know, it looks pretty bleak in certain circumstances, but if we worship, grab a psalm and worship. We did a blog on that just mm-hmm. this week. When it hurts the most, worship the most.
Right.
I don't mean to be corny on the sayings, but so this is really how Bible Study Company came to be, was partly why we started studying in Exodus.
Right.
And
because
why
we felt like we were exiting
the secular workforce. Anybody can study, whether in a secular situation or not.
And we had a lot of things that had gone on in our marriage and things that had been revealed, things that were just blown apart. And it was like, you know, I felt like a ball of rubble. And
you were pretty good looking rubble.
And it was then that, you know, taking that step and saying, Lord, put us back together.
Yeah.
You know, put the pieces back together and show us how we can, you know, walk in the wilderness and follow you. And that's where we learned about all, you know, I mean, through the different podcasts about the wilderness and wilderness being dependent on God, you know, having our dependence on God. And that's the thing that I, you know, that I want to get across so strongly is for some reason today, you know, just on my heart that the people who are struggling with either their relationships or with who they are as a person and that they feel like they're completely broken and of no value, and to understand that the Lord, coming to the Lord, understanding that you can ask him into your heart and repent of your sins, and no matter what you've done, you can follow him and he will restore you. He won't restore you in the way that you may think you should be restored.
Want.
Yes, because our ways aren't his ways. As we start walking with him and start finding that out, we start realizing that's right. His ways are way better than ours.
Yeah, and I think that's right. And not only is it right, but that's what's going on here. They're going to be restored out of Egypt, but we're going to find out that they most likely would have liked to have the people who are oppressing them destroyed, and they could take over the land.
Right.
And that's not what God intended. He wanted them to be with him in a place of dependence, which is the wilderness. And that's where the word of God is. That's where your family is that you can take care of. And your community is there. And that's the model that we've used, because taking us and stripping us is exactly what he wants to do, because this life is so short. Mm-hmm. Why do I want to build my own kingdom, which is what I was doing in the company?
Right.
You know, I wanted to be known for something. No, I want to be known as what Moses wanted to be known as, eventually, a servant of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly Abraham, too. I think the closer you come to the power and majesty of God and the fear of the Lord, the Lord will show you him. And when you have that, you get afraid. And we're going to see Moses become afraid here. But I think as we close this up, I think it's really important for us. There are people, and we know this to be really true, because I saw you just a little bit ago when you were explaining your thing. You were getting a little emotional. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that there are people who, you know, you've described yourself sometimes feeling like a wallflower. I feel like sometimes I'm in just a mass of people. How could anybody ever notice me, or how can God notice me? Well, that one day I was walking along and I felt a thought come across my head that was, you have access to the God of the universe who spoke all this into, I don't need anything. I think he looks at the world, but he doesn't look at people who are standing out. He's looking at people who are standing with him, and you become a big deal. His eyes roll to and fro the earth, mm-hmm. looking for people who are concerned about what he's concerned about.
Right.
But what happens if you don't really know him? You can do what you said, open up your heart, put your sin on Christ, mm-hmm. take his penalty, his judgment of your sin, and then transfer that sin to him and put your trust in him. Do it right now. Just simply pray and ask the Lord. Let's do it really quickly. Mm-hmm. Father, I'm a sinner, and I transfer all my sin based on the Ten Commandments onto you. I've lied. I've stolen. I've lusted after people. My mouth is not a good thing. And so, Lord, I just put all that sin, and I realize that Christ's punishment was my judgment for my sin. But you did it now, not after I die, so that I could know that when he rose from the dead, I rose from the dead. I don't have to sin any longer. But you know what, Lord? I don't know you very well. I don't know your word very well. I don't know you. And even if you've been a Christian for a long time, Lord, we need to get to know your word. Your people are lost because they sit in pews, but they don't know your word. And Lord, we want to know. They don't know how. And here's how. We go to Proverbs 2 and Proverbs 1, and we read that, and we ask the Lord, how do I learn to be obedient to you to get to know you? And you watch. You just open the door to an adventure. You might not be what you thought it was going to be, but it'll be exciting. And you'll impact people's lives, but he will do it through you. So, Lord, we lift up our hearts to you. We lift everything about us to you and let you decide what we are to be based on your word. If you've prayed that, let us know. If you're a Christian and you've struggled with the word of God and being in a lonely place, let us know that too.
Yeah, and the whole process of having Bible study company and joining it and keeping it free is so that you can, I mean, there's a public wall on there, there's groups on there. You can study, look up words, you can ask questions and find new friends on there. And don't be afraid to use it or be afraid to call or text and ask if you have questions. That's the whole purpose of this. We're all in this together. And the process of getting saved and then sanctification and trying to learn to minister to the Lord and serve and be a remnant of God's people is really important to us. And all we want is to have this a tool to help in whatever small way we can.
Right. And the other thing, too, is that we're more than willing to come if you have a church or a small group or something and just talk about how to approach the scriptures as a pew sitter. And so, you know, let us know what you're looking for. We've made some improvements on Bible Study Company just recently, and so we'll be getting out videos on that. Is there anything you want to add as things that we need to be do? Read Exodus 3 down farther. Also, go and put Egypt into Bible Study Company and start looking at how it's represented in Scripture. The other thing to do is you might want to do a search on the angel of the Lord. And then another one is go back to Exodus 1, 2 and take a look at that. And if you want to, with some of our podcasts, take a look at their videos too. But really start to dig into the Word, make it a serious central part of your life. And I don't know what else to say.
That's good.
Oh, boy.
I love you.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
We go down squirrels and rabbit trails, but those were good things up. But now it gives me a little more work because I've got to put up all those things on the... Oh. Anyway, let's hang this up.
Okay. Well, listen, everybody, thanks. And grab your beverage and join us for the next podcast. By the way, we'd really like you to subscribe and share on YouTube, but please share this stuff out, Facebook and all that. And we appreciate you. And every comment you make is really helpful.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. That's fun.